course, as you see, our theme verse is there at the bottom of the banner, Mark 16:15. Getting into our New Year's theme, we want to encourage you today to get involved with what God is doing and challenge you. Mark 16, we're going to start reading in verse number 9. Mark 16, verse number 9, we're going to read all the way down to verse number 15, which is the verse that we will consider today. For many of us, it should be old hat. We're familiar with the gospel and also the challenges with the gospels, but nonetheless, we're going to still challenge from this area. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, if you're there, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
All right, that sounds like that's the majority of us. Amen. I'm going to read responsively. I'm going to read the first verse, the odd verses. You read the even verses along with me, and we'll finish up with verse number 15. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." And here's our text. Read that with me. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. That's Mark 16:15. And it's been said that it is the Great Commission. It's been said it's Christ's last command, and it should be our first concern. It's been said it's the main thing. It's been said it's the mission of the church. It's been said it's why God left us here, didn't take us to heaven right away. It's been said it's one of the primary reasons why we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's also been said it's why Christ Jesus came to this earth. Say, preacher, what is it? To preach the gospel, the good news to mankind, to every living man, woman, boy, or girl. And that's the focus of this year's theme. There is a Savior for us, and he is ready to save us from the penalty of sin, the punishment of sin, and also the power of sin. And many do not know about that at this point. And so our job and our goal and our emphasis and our push this year is going to be that we would do exactly what the sign says behind me. By God's grace, this year our challenge and theme is that we all would make an earnest effort to preach to all that we can and to reach all we can, and then each would do all that he can. Say it with me up here. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, do all you can. Read it one more time because I messed up. Amen. There we go. Preach to all you can. Reach all you can. Each do all you can. Amen. I pray that that theme throughout the course of this year will ring in your minds. Every time you come into this auditorium, you'll see it. Leaving out, you'll see what our ministry is based upon leaving here, and you'll take that message as you go out to fulfill those things on the back wall. And I'm trusting that we'll do that, and we're going to leave the results up to God. God never told us to go and save anybody. He just said to go and preach to them and try to reach them, and each one do everything you can to do that, and I will save, I will add to my church, I will build my church. One man planteth, another man watereth, but God giveth the increase. Our job is just to be faithful, preaching, reaching, and each one doing all he can. Father, bless now this morning's message as we embark upon 2016 and our theme that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that we would all band our minds and band our hearts and band our wills together for the primary purpose of seeing the gospel go out more this year than it did last year. That each one of us would endeavor to preach to all the people that we can. Each one of us would endeavor to reach all the people we can. And each one of us would do all that we can in our own power, not worrying about what someone else will do, but what you've laid upon our hearts to do. thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this message. And Lord, it may be wrote to many of us who know that this is what we ought to do. But then, Lord, there's still so many, many more that need to be involved with preaching and reaching. And so, Lord, I pray that as the word of God goes out, we may find ourselves enlisting into this great need to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless now in the sermon. Lord, bless now in the song that will be sang, that it may challenge our hearts and stir our hearts. And that the message, Holy Spirit, you would use it to save a lost person today. And you would use it to encourage a saved person today. Lord, you would use it to help us to do more this year than we did last year. Thank you for 2016 and all it will bring. Lord, I pray that your will be done, and Holy Spirit, have your will in your way. Lord Jesus, may you be magnified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Mrs. Dawson has our special, and she's going to be singing the theme song for this year, Each One, Reach One.
Church. One.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Each one, reach one. That is really what it's all about. Although Jesus Christ sent them out in mass, they reach them one at a time. One does the preaching, one does the receiving, one does the saving, and that is our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll hear that song often throughout the year, and people do need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, why do people need the gospel? So they can be saved. Amen. Let me read you some startling statistics here. These are recent statistics, and it says only 36% of people 18 through 29 years of age believe it is important to be married. Only 36%. We're talking about this nation. 36% of people think that it is necessary or important to be married between the ages of 18 and 29. This one is even worse. 79% of men and 76% of women 18 to 30 years old view pornography at least once a month. 79% of men and 76% of women 18 to 30 view pornography at least once a month. Church attendance has declined 15% in the last 30 years. How many are 30 years of age in here today? So from your birth and below, it's decreased by 15% church attendance. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people still going to church by the droves, but they're going for not Christ, but for convenience. And so it behooves you and I to stick with the main thing. And the main thing is getting the gospel out. Amen. By the way, we can't expect people to come to church, especially if it's 15% decline. We've got to go to them and we've got to give them the gospel. We've got to go and preach, reach, and each one of us has got to do that individually, but then collectively as a church body. And our text here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the crucifixion and the death has already taken place. The burial has taken place. The resurrection has taken place, as you see there in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And Jesus has appeared to the disciples. He's about to depart to prepare the future home or our mansion. But before he does, he leaves the disciples a charge. And the 11 disciples are charged with the giving out the gospel or occupying their time with the gospel until he returns. By the way, Jesus is coming again. And he's coming soon. They were to preach the gospel to every creature. And I've mentioned this before. Let me mention it to you again. The gospel challenge or charge, so to speak, is in every single gospel book. Say, preacher, wait a minute. You find it here in Mark chapter 16. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 28, and you will see it there again. And again, for most of us, this should be routine. Matthew chapter 28, we find the great command as well. Some folks call it the great commission. Matthew 28, we find the 11 disciples as well. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Notice this, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is giving out the gospel. He said, then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We find it in Matthew. We found it in Mark. You'll find it in Luke over in Luke chapter 24. Go over to Luke with me, Luke 24, because it is so important that it's included in every single gospel. Luke 24 in verse number 45. Notice what the Bible says. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Notice this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. In the Gospel of John, you'll find it in John chapter 20 and verse number 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Matter of fact, 20 is when he showed his hands to Thomas, and when he had said so,
said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And notice this. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so what? Send I you. What is that? The Great Commission, the Great Command, the need to get the gospel out. Back over in chapter number 1 of Acts, it is the same thing. He told the early church there the same thing, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And he told them where? He said, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that's a tall order for 11 people, but it's no problem for the Holy Spirit inside the 11 people. Amen. God would never give us something that could not be done through his power. And let me help you. He never told you to do it in your own power. Can I get amen? He never told us to go and win anybody in our own power. He never told you to witness in your own power. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He said, the Spirit's job is to witness through you. I just need a vessel. I just need a vehicle. I just need a body to take the message and go do it. So it's not up to us to have any kind of power in of our and of ourselves other than the physical power to get our bodies surrendered to the Spirit's job. And that is winning souls. By the way, the songs that we sang this morning all were sang with a purpose. We've come this far by faith. We're sang because we've come out of 2015 and we've come into 2016. And we came this far, guess how? By faith. And then we sang, I surrender. Well, why? I'm coming into 2016, surrendering my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he's told me to do, to preach, to reach, and each. Then we sang, lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lord, show me who you want me to talk to. Lord, show me who you want me to witness to. Lord, show me that soul that needs to be saved. Lord, show me the one that you have specifically designed for me to reach that one. By the way, there's somebody for everybody to reach. And some people can only be won by your witness. Did you know that? Some people are going to respond to you that won't respond to anybody else. Say, preacher, why did you say that? I only responded to Rod Branch. I had many people talk to me, and I wouldn't give them the time of day. But God knew exactly how to use Rod Branch in my life, and he said the right things to me at the right time, the right way, and with the right emphasis to win my curiosity. When he got my curiosity, he had an ear. Why? I had a searching heart. I looked under every rock for religion. I looked everywhere, and I needed not religion. I needed righteousness. I didn't know that. I thought it was religion. I thought I needed the church. I thought I needed baptism. I thought I needed to speak in tongues. I thought I needed a whole lot of things, but I needed Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, and risen again, and coming back again too. And so as each one of us asks God, Lord, I surrender. Lead me to the one that only I can reach. Only I can get to that soul. Only I can do it through your power and through your strength. And guess what? He'll lay a soul on your heart. He'll lay a soul on your heart. We've just got to get to the point and say, Lord, I surrender and lead me. Trust me, there's somebody that he wants you to reach this year. We're going to give you many opportunities to get out and put this message into practice in the days ahead. So although this is a tall order for 11 people, there's no problem for the Holy Spirit in the 11 people. We have the same Holy Spirit today and the same charge today. It is real today. It is valid today as it was when Jesus first gave it out. Go back to Mark 16:15 with me. It's just as real. It's just as valid. Mark 16 and verse 15. In Mark 16:15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm not going to go into all the other background area there. We've done that before, and we'll save that for another day. But suffice it to say is that the Bible states much about preaching the gospel. Notice that again. He said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Say, preacher, why is the gospel so important? The gospel is the good news. The gospel is why Jesus Christ came. The gospel is the reason why people get saved. By the way, if you don't have the gospel, you can't get saved. Amen. Hey, without the news that Jesus came, he died for your sins, he was buried, he rose again, my friend, you cannot be saved. You've got nothing to get saved by. Baptism doesn't save you. Speaking in tongues doesn't save you. Joining a church doesn't save you. Keeping the Ten Commandments doesn't save you. Obeying the golden rule doesn't save you. Being the best person you can doesn't save you. Turning over a new leaf doesn't save you. Jesus Christ, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you, my friend. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. What does the Bible say about preaching the gospel? Well, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, you don't have to turn now, I'll read it. Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." To who? To the poor. Say, preacher, that means the people are poor with no money? Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Why? If you don't have Jesus Christ's spirit, you are poor in spirit. Amen. Now, the poor need it as well, physically speaking. But the spiritually poor, everybody is that way unless you're saved. He said, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many got a broken heart out there? Amen. Amen. Hey, all of us got a broken heart about something or about somebody or about someone. We've all got broken hearts. Jesus said, the gospel is going to be preached to the poor. It's going to be preached to heal the brokenhearted. It's going to be to preach deliverance to the captive. Those are captives in sin. It's going to be recovering of sight to the blind. Why? I'm spiritually blind until I get saved. I cannot see spiritually. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Many people are walking around bruised by life, battered by life's experiences, having a tough time at home, having an abusive relationship, having an abusive person in their life, whether it's a parent or a spouse or someone. They're bruised, they're battered, they're beat down, and they need some help. They need some rescuing. They need to be set at liberty. Hey, the gospel, my friend, needs to be preached to them. I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, I came with a load of sin. I was a captive to sin. I was battered. I was beat down. I was broken. And by the world standards, everybody thought I was all right. Hey, everybody's got skeletons in their closet. Everybody's got demons that they got to deal with. But the gospel needs to be preached to them. And God wants to use you and me to reach people just like you. Just like you. You came to Christ with a need. You came broken. You came battered. You came bruised. You came as a captive. You came blind. You came naked spiritually, and God in his grace saved you. And he saved me. And he gave me the privilege to preach the gospel. We dare not preach anything else. Nothing else can save. Nothing else can save. Well, what else does the Bible have to say about preaching the gospel? Well, we find in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, Paul said this, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so Paul was called into Macedonia, the regions of Europe, to take the gospel. And my friend, that's why you and I have the gospel, because Paul took it to Europe, and Europe gave it to America, and we still have that same gospel. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul wrote this to the Romans. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, you know, I don't preach it to Macedonia. I'm going to preach it to Rome. Chapter 10 and verse 15 of Romans as well, Paul would say this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. Let me tell you something, friend. The gospel is a good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul said it this way to the church at Corinth, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the topic for this year. We're preaching the gospel to every creature. As it says in Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the topic for the year. Let's take that first point up there. It says, preach to all you can. Preach to all you can. That is what we are going to do this year, is preach the gospel. But what are we going to preach? We're going to preach God's message. God's message. What is it? It's the gospel. The Lord said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. We're going to preach to all we can God's message. And God's message is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. How Jesus died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, my friend. That's how we are saved. That's how our sins are forgiven. Someone had to purchase us, and it had to be someone sinless, and they had to give their life. And my friend, it was Jesus Christ. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't Confucius. It wasn't any other person than Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of religious leaders out there, a lot of political figures out there. They've all tried to do good things, but guess what, my friend? Jesus did the best thing. Amen. He died for your sins, and there is no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the gospel. It is the gospel. The hymn by Benjamin Bauer states it best. He says, what the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. The second stanza says, what the world needs is Jesus, he alone can save. What the world needs is Jesus, all his love he gave. There is no other Savior, he can change men's behavior. What the world needs is Jesus, he alone can save. I don't know about you, but you can turn over a new leaf all you want to. But Jesus Christ is the one that's going to give you the Holy Spirit to change your behavior. And when he changes your behavior, guess what? It stays changed. I'm going to give you a plug nickel for these guys. Say, well, I'm saved. They go right back to their sin the next day or the next hour, or the next several years down the road. They turn back to a life of sin. Amen. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying that's not what Jesus saved them for. God wouldn't save you from sin to go right back to sin. Can I get amen?
Amen.
All right. Folks say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, you don't need to like it. Amen. It's still good. It's still true. Look at 1 Corinthians so we can see what this gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and many of us know this already. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I don't know about you, but God, I believe, is going to work a marvelous work of grace in this church if we would get involved in preaching to all we can. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And my friend, that is the gospel. As you and I go and preach to all we can, that is the message that we're taking them. God's message as we go to preach to all we can is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friend, nothing else is going to save them. That is the good news. Say, preacher, why is it such good news? Because they would have to pay for their own sins any other time, any other way. They would have to go to a cruel cross and go to a place called hell. And guess what? You only got one life to give. And you can't raise yourself up like Jesus Christ raised himself up, because he was God and he was man. 100% God, 100% man, who died for our sins and made an atonement for you and I. And that is it. And I'm glad with the gospel, in his death and his burial and his resurrection, he wasn't just seen by the 11. Notice what it says down there in verse number 5. And that he was a seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Notice verse 6. And after that, he was seen about 500 brethren. Notice verse 7. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse number 8. Last of all, he was seen of me. Amen. This wasn't done behind closed doors. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ took place at Golgotha. The Roman soldiers saw it. They put him in tomb. They sealed him in there. They thought it was done. It was over. Amen. But the third day, they went to an empty tomb. Hey, the angel said, come see where he lay. He ain't here no more. He gone. Now, we can see the evidence that he's been here, but he's not here. And guess what? And then he was seen. Now, how are you going to be dead, buried behind a sealed place, and then not be there anymore? God. When you're God, you can do that. Showing the world that, hey, look, yes, I died for the sin. Yes, the sinless blood was shed. Yes, I was buried. And yes, I rose again the third day. But guess what? I was seen, and people can get saved. And guess what? People need to hear that Jesus was seen. People need to hear that Jesus Christ, yes, he is alive. And he's alive in me. You may not be able to see him physically, my friend, but you can see him in my life. Should be able to see him in my life. The gospel. We're going to preach to all we can God's message, and God's message is the gospel. God's, not only are we going to preach God's message, but then we're going to preach God's message to God's multitude. Notice verse chapter 16, or, I'm sorry, Mark 15, 16. 16, 15, I'm sorry. Getting the 16 and 15 confused. Not only are we going to preach God's message, we're going to preach God's message to God's multitude, Mark 16. And in Mark 16, 15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice those words, all the world and every creature. As we're preaching to all we can, God's message is the gospel. God's multitude is all the world and every creature. All the world and every creature means that all people are targets for salvation. Why? They're in danger. Let me just ask you a rhetorical question. If you knew somebody was about to die because they were about to make a certain move, wouldn't you try to stop them? If you knew there was certain danger and certain doom, if they touched that electrical wire, or if they stepped off of that cliff, or if they stuck their hands into that saw or put their bodies down there in front of that train, don't you know that sudden death? Don't you know the end of that is going to be death? Hey, my friend, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Everybody's in danger. And that's why it's our job to preach to all we can God's message to God's multitude, because everybody needs to be saved. Last time I checked, as Serge said, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the who? The world. That's all the creatures. He says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. God's multitude is every creature. They're in danger. Romans 5:12 says it this way, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says it this way, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Think about it. If Christ had to die for everybody, that means everybody was dead. So why do we preach the gospel? God's message, because it's going to save people's lives. Why do we go to God's multitude? Because all men need to be saved. So why are we going to preach to all that we can? We're going to preach God's message and God's multitude because somebody came to you. The least you can do is go to somebody else. Amen. How are we going to go to all the world and to every creature? By the second point, reaching. Preach to all you can, and then reach all you can. That's the only way to go to all the world and every creature, by reaching. Reaching all we can with the gospel. Reaching people is how we will reach the world with the gospel. People must be reached. I was reached. You were reached. Everyone saved here today was reached by somebody. And Jesus said, all the world and every creature. You and I have got to team up together and reach all the world. By the way, you can reach people in the world that I can't reach, and vice versa. There's some ladies in here that can reach some ladies that other ladies can't reach. And there's some men in this church that can reach other men that other men can't reach. There's some children in this church that can reach other children that some other children can't reach. What am I saying? Each one of us has got to preach the gospel and reach all we can, because you never know who you can reach and who you can't reach. You don't know who's going to be taken by you. And who's going to be taken by the power of God working through you, and be of like spirit from you and have the same type of things that you like, that will naturally take a liking to you? You don't know. So we're going to preach to all we can and reach all we can with the gospel. Why? Because reaching is still God's method. Reaching is still God's method. God hadn't changed his plan. Folks say, well, why do we? We've got TV now. I don't find TV in the Bible. I'm not knocking it, but I don't find it in the Bible. Amen. Oh, preacher, we got gospel tracts. I'm not knocking gospel tracts, but I don't see gospel tracts in the Bible. Oh, preacher, we got televangelists. I'm not knocking televangelists, but they're not in the Bible. Well, we got internet. I'm not knocking internet, but it's not in the Bible. We got email. I'm not knocking email, but it's not in the Bible. Preacher, we got Skype. I'm not knocking Skype, but Skype is not the Bible. He said, go ye. He said nothing about your computer. He said nothing about your device. He said nothing about your technology. He told you to go. Can I get amen? Amen. Hey, we get back, we sit on our do-nothings because we got so much computer technology, but we got less spirituality. Yeah. All the while, Jesus said, go ye. He ain't saying nothing about your computer. Reaching is still God's method. We can't reach all the world and every creature by sitting. In Bible times, there was no chat room. There was no Skype. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no tweet. There was no internet. There was no social media. There were no websites. There were no cell phones. There were no pay phones. There were no walkie-talkies, no UPS, no FedEx, no gospel tracts. It was just people reaching people the old-fashioned way. We've gotten so far away from that. So much that we're afraid to even confront somebody with the gospel.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
And we've got the power. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes, and ye shall be witnesses. You've got the ability. Just use it.
Amen.
It's there.
Amen.
Now, I'm not knocking any of the things that I just read off. I'm not knocking any of those. But God never said he'd bless those.
Amen.
But he would bless if you go in obedience to his word. Because he said, go. He said, I'll bless my word. And he said, go. Nothing against technology is good and we can use it, but the old-fashioned way of knocking on doors and talking to people we meet still works. In Mark 16, 15, go means to proceed, move, or get busy. I've said this before. No one stands still when the light turns green. Otherwise, people honk their horns at you. Why would they honk their horns at you? Because green means go. They'll honk your horns if you don't stop at the red light. Why? Red means stop. Now, to a bull, it means go, but I don't think y'all are bulls. Green means go. By the way, keep in mind at this point, in the life of the church in Mark 16, 15, there were only 11 disciples. Notice down there in verse number 14, afterwards, he appeared unto how many? The 11. Now, of course, we know Judas Iscariot hung himself. No matter how small the local church is, it's still God's way. I don't care if there's just five people in the church.
Amen.
Reaching all you can in your five is what God expects.
Yes,
Brother Berge's going over to South Africa.
Amen.
If only his family gets involved, guess what? That's all God ordained. Why? That's the church. If that's the church, amen, guess what? Then their job is to go.
Amen.
Reaching is still God's method. I don't care how small the church or how large the church, going and reaching people is still God's method. In order to reach all the world and every creature, we must go. It's not an idea, it's not a thought or a suggestion, it's a command. We're just being obedient to what God has already said that we ought to do. By the way, you try standing still at a green light. You know what's going to happen? People's going to start blowing at you. And you know if you still stay at the green light, you know what people are going to do after a while? They're going to go around you. There's some Christians that are stagnated in their Christian walk because they're not going.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
They're not. People are passing you up because you haven't won a soul to Christ. And guess what? You have the same Holy Spirit that the person that passed you up has.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact Holy Spirit.
That's right, Pastor.
The difference is one is yielded and one is not.
Right.
One is surrendered and one is not. One knows what Jesus Christ said about going and the other knows it but doesn't do it. What am I saying? If you stay long enough at a green light, people will start going around you. And if you stay longer than that, the cops will come and move you.
Yeah.
And he might move you with a hefty fine for obstructing traffic. What am I saying? God may remove you if you're not doing what you ought to be doing. Now, I'm not trying to use scare taxes, but he might. He got ways to make you go. Remember the church in Acts when they weren't going out and spreading out? What did he do? He sent persecution to the church by one of Saul of Tarsus. Sometimes, just sometimes, maybe because we aren't going where we're supposed to be going, God will send us some afflictions. And God will say, you know what, I tried to get you going, but it doesn't seem like you're going any other way. So let me give you this. Now, what do you do to make a mule go sometimes? You give him a little swat. What do you do if you're a cowboy and you got a horse? You give him a little bit of them spurs.
Yes, sir.
What do you do with some of the animals sometimes? You give him a little gold. What does God do with Christians sometimes? Give him a little tribulation. Give him a little persecution. Give him a little suffering. Why? The world is bigger than you. The world is bigger than your problems. The world is bigger than your financial situation. The world is bigger than what you have going on today. The world is bigger than that. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about preaching to all we can, reaching all we can. Folks, that is why God left us here. We get so caught up in life and the things of life that we neglect to do what God has called the church to do. And he said, I want you to preach to all you can and reach all you can. I understand the problems. I understand the activities. I understand the busyness. I understand those things. But that's not why Jesus left us here. He gave us the Holy Spirit to navigate through life to fulfill His will. And His will is to get the gospel out. Again, it's not a thought or a suggestion, it's a command. And by the way, let's save ourselves a lot of trouble. It's not up to us to save anybody. Our job is to go. Saving is God's job. Let me show you the illustration that Jesus gave about the wedding feast that was being prepared. Go over to Luke chapter 14, verse 21. Luke 14. And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is preaching here. He gives them a parable in verse number 7. And then begins to talk about some people that were invited to a supper down in verse number 12. Then he comes down to verse number 15. He begins to talk about some people that were bidded to a feast. Notice it says in verse 15, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore cannot come. Don't use your wife for no excuse. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done and that as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Notice that, as thou hast commanded. The word go is a command. He said, I want you to go and do what I said. In verse number 21, he said, go out quickly into the streets. And the guy came back and he said, you know what? I've done as you're commanded. I went out there. You said, go quickly. I went to the streets. I went to the lanes. I went into the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. I brought him in. It's done as you commanded. And notice what he says, and yet there is room. And yet there is room. May I say that you and I aren't done going as long as there's room in the kingdom of God? Our job is not done. He said, preach, I won 4 souls to Christ, and yet there is room. I got 40 saved, yet there is room. I got 400 saved, yet there is room. I got 4 million saved, yet there is room. There's room. There's room for your neighbor. There's room for the co-worker. There's room for the student. There's room for the doctor. There's room for the lawyer. There's room for the cop. There's room for the clerk. There's room. There's room. There's room. We think that it's all filled up. Heaven is filled up. No vacancy. No room in the end. Put the sign on. No, heaven is not filled up. This servant said, yet there is room. Notice what he says down there. Verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. What did he say? Go out. Go out. Verse 22 must be our heartbeat in 2016 more than ever. When we say, yet there is room. Everybody we see, yet there is room, so I'm going to preach. Yet there is room, so I'm going to reach. Yet there is room, so I'm going to do all I can. Yet there is room, there is room, there is room, there is room. By the way, friends, somebody said the same thing when they got you saved. There's room. There's room for one more. There's room for one more adult. There's room for one more man. There's room for one more woman. There's room for one more single. There's room for one more couple. There's room for one more teenager. There's room, there's room, there's room. Yet there's room. Never stop going. The servant of the Lord said, yet there is room. Train ourselves to go, and we all go somewhere, and as we go, we should witness. As we go with the good news of the gospel, there are going to be some that give the same replies. I cannot come. I've got a wife. I cannot come. I've got some oxen. I cannot come. I bought some land. What do we do when they say no? Let me read something to you that I read the other day that I think will be encouraging to you. It's from the David Wood Ministries, and it says, what to do when a prospect says no? Because let me guarantee you, there are going to be more people that will say no than will say yes. There's going to be more that are going to say no. You know what we do when people say no? Oh, they don't like me anymore. It's got nothing to do with you. They said that I'm a fanatic. Well, you probably are for God. You should be. Well, they said my breath stank. Well, you need to get some mints for that. God ain't got nothing to do with that. He better get you some breath mints or get you some gum. Now, if they say that, then that is on you. Amen. But if it's the gospel, it's not on you. They're not rejecting you. Notice what he says. So one of the greatest fears of soul winning is that of being rejected. You present the Savior to a lost person, invite them to make a decision, and when he says no, you feel you've been turned down. Like asking somebody out on a date, will you go out on a date with me? No, they don't like me. This is nothing like that. Shouldn't be dating anyway unless you're going to get married. Amen. That's another message, though. An accompanying thought is usually if someone else had presented Christ, he would have accepted him as Savior. He goes on to say there are two very important things to remember when a person rejects Christ. First, he did not reject you. He rejected Jesus. Amen. Remember, you are not asking him to receive you, but Jesus as Savior. Now, if you ask him to receive you, then you got bigger problems. He goes on to say this is a trick of Satan to discourage the soul winner. We're never happy when someone says no, but this should not discourage us from going quickly to the next person and presenting the gospel to him. He says, second of all, not everyone we deal with is going to say yes. The best soul winners in the world do not win everyone they talk to. Is it not true that when Jesus dealt with a rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful? Did not King Agrippa tell Paul, "Oh, most thou persuadest me to be a Christian"? He goes on to say, sometimes I ask a soul winner this, as you think back over those to whom you have presented Christ, approximately how many do you present Christ to before one is saved? I get all different numbers in that response. However, if that person has not won anyone to Christ in a month, the sad truth is that he has not presented the Savior to the number of which one usually responds. Why? Because if you present Jesus Christ, somebody's going to get saved sooner or later. Why? That's what the gospel does. Remember, it's to the brokenhearted. It's to the poor. It's to the captives. It's to the blind. It's to those type of people. He goes on to say this. If we're not winning souls, it is not because the prospect says no, but sadly because we quit and do not continue to give out the gospel to someone else. What should we do when a person says no? He says, first of all, always give him three opportunities to say yes. He says, when I deal with someone and he says no, I always hesitate a moment and explain carefully what I'm asking him to do. Then ask him again to receive Christ. If he refuses a second time, I hesitate and ask him once again. If he again refuses, I normally close in prayer asking the Lord to help him receive Christ before it is too late in my prayer. I usually say, Lord, help John Joe to understand that he has not refused me, but the Lord Jesus. At that point, I thank him for allowing me to talk with him and try to get a commitment from him to attend some services on Sunday. He says, it is important to remember that if you cannot win him, always leave him so the next soul winner can. Amen. Let me read that again. If you cannot win him, always leave him so that the next soul winner can. In other words, never embarrass him or offend him so the next Christian coming by doesn't have a leg in with him. I meet more people that are offended by Christians that will not get saved because somebody in the church did something to them. Well, they did this, they did this, and them supposed to be the church people, they say. Well, they might not be saved, sir, so let's not deal with them. Let's deal with the here and now. But don't leave them worse off than they were before. Now, you can't get them any more lost, but you can't close them off to people that would talk to them. He goes on to say this, I, like other soul winners, do not win everyone with whom I deal either. But it is a joy to think back over the many who have been saved later by attending the services or won by another soul winner or accepting Christ on another visit that I would make in the home at a later time. Because they were not embarrassed or they were not offended in me or what I did. In fact, I visited one man who rejected the Savior. After following all the procedures given above, he said he still rejected Christ. I sat and visited with him a while before getting up to leave, and he stopped me and said, I don't want you to leave with me turning down Jesus. Then he was gloriously saved. Amen. He says, remember, we will not win everyone, however, never let this stop you from presenting the wonderful gospel story over and over. Many will be saved, but some won't. Don't quit and don't give up. Amen. I don't know about you, but I read it and I got encouraged. Because we often think that they're rejecting us. And we often blame ourselves. Well, maybe I should have done this or this or this different. And that may be the case, but it may not be the case. The person may just not be ready for Christ, but at least you can leave them ready for the next person. Why? It's the gospel that they need. It's the gospel that they need. Well, folks, we're going to preach to all we can. What are we going to preach? We're going to preach God's message. What is it? The gospel. Who are we going to preach to? God's multitude. How's this going to happen? By reaching. God said, go. And we reach people by going. And we're going to go and reach all that we can. We're going to pick up the rest of this next week, and some of it we'll pick up tonight. But the one thing I want to leave you with is, get it firmly in your mind that God wants to use you this year. God wants to use you. He wants to use you through Shining Light Baptist Church to be a witness. And there's somebody that only you can win this year. There's somebody only you can win. There's somebody that only is going to respond to your witness. Say, preacher, who is that? I have no clue. But I know this. If you say, Lord, I surrender. And if you say, lead me, Lord, I will follow. He'll point you to that person. And you know what you're going to have to find yourself doing? Preaching to all you can in the process. And reaching all you can in the process. And as you're preaching to all and reaching all, guess what? God will point you to the one that needs to be saved. That's what he does. And that's what his Holy Spirit is designed to do in your life and in my life. If we'll let him. If we'll let him. My question is, are you going to band together and be co-laborers with Christ and say, Lord, I want to preach to all I can. Lord, I want to reach all I can. And Lord, I'm going to endeavor to do all that I possibly can do. He says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Imagine that. God wants to use us. We're laborers together with God. I mean, that's what Paul wrote. We're laborers together with God. God wants to use us to preach. God wants to use us to reach. He could have sent the angels to do that. He could have sent back Enoch, who got raptured, to do that. He could have sent back Elijah, who got raptured. But he wants to use you and me. I don't know about you, but I feel special. That's a privilege to be able to share the gospel, the word of God, with someone. And they're not rejecting me either when they don't receive it. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with Jesus Christ. And so when they reject the word of God, shake the dust, keep going. And pray that God will use somebody to reach them. We're going to have many avenues that we can do this with. We're going to talk about that tonight. So I trust that you'll come back tonight. But over the next several moments in the invitation, what I want you to do is consider, what is it that God wants me to do in regards to this reaching people? What is it that God wants me to do? And I can tell you this, he wants you to go. He wants you to preach. He wants you to reach. He wants you to reach everybody you can. He wants you to preach to everybody you can. And he wants you to do all that you can humanly do in your power. And he does supply the Holy Spirit power. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. As we look at the challenges before us, it's easy to look and get overwhelmed and say, I can't possibly preach to all that I can. I can't possibly reach all that I can. I can't possibly do this, but let me encourage you something. It's not you, it's Jesus Christ doing it through you. It's his Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you. God is never going to tell you to do something that he can't do through you through the power of God. Let me remind you that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me remind you that people around this state and this city have never heard his name and the gospel presented to them. Our job this year is to say, Lord, as Shining Light Baptist theme, to preach to all we can and to reach all we can. And each do all he can, I'm going to enlist myself in this service. And I'm going to endeavor to do exactly that, preach to everybody that I can the gospel. Reach everybody I can the gospel. I'm going to do all I can. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands. I'm going to ask you in your own heart, are you willing to step to the challenge and say, Lord, I want to preach to all I can. I want to reach to all I can. I want to do all I can. And I want you to raise your hand, but in the quiet of your own heart, if you want to do that this year and say, Lord, I'm going to do my debt level best, then why don't you ask God to lead you as you surrender to the person that he wants you to focus on, or the persons, or the groups of persons. Maybe it's a group of coworkers. Maybe it's a group of neighbors and friends. Maybe it's a group of students. Maybe it's somebody at the supermarket. You know what? If each one of us reach one person, we'll double in size. And again, it's not about the numbers. It's about the souls. The more people you have targeted, the more people can get saved. Perhaps here today you would say, preacher, I've never received the gospel. I've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. I need to be saved. If I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? If you hear like that, you say, I'm not sure I'm born again. I think I am, but I'm not positive. Preacher, would you pray for me that I can get all doubts settled? You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me, man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I know about the gospel is there for salvation. And if I'm not saved, I'll go to hell. I understand that. But preacher, I'm not sure. I've been baptized. I've spoken in tongues, but I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that at all? You raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. One last time. Any others? Join this one. Let me encourage you, if you have raised your hand during the invitation, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. It won't take but a little bit of your time. And if you reject it, that's on you. You're rejecting the Lord. But I trust that you'll receive Jesus Christ. Christian, make a commitment today to preach all you can, reach all you can, and do all you can. Father, bless now this dear person that's raised their hand. Give them the courage to get things settled in their mind, their heart, and help them to know that Jesus Christ loves them and has died for them, was buried and rose again the third day for them. They can be gloriously saved today if they would just step forward and let you deal with their life, Lord. Speak to that one. Speak to us collectively as Christian folk here today, Lord, that we would take this theme message, preach, reach, and each. We'd all do exactly what you've told us to do. Go into all the world, to every creature, preach the gospel. That's our job. And Lord, help us to be effective at Shining Light Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. As Brother Wilbur begins to sing, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar.
Hear the Savior say,
maybe you need to come and say, I surrender all. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord,
child of weakness,
I'm surrendering. But lead me. Lead me, Lord. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I need to be saved.
Jesus paid it all.
Maybe God will work with your heart.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot.
God spoke in your heart, you move.
And melt the heart of stone.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all.
Say, go ye to all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Shining Light, we're going to endeavor to do that. We're going to preach to all we can. We're going to reach all we can. Each one of us is going to do all that we can. Would you join me? Jesus has already paid it all. How about it, Christian? I trust that you're saying, Lord, I surrender. So, Lord, lead me. Lead me. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe someone at the supermarket. Maybe someone at one of your sporting activities. Maybe someone that you just see frequently. Whoever it is. Lord, lay that soul on my heart. Lord, help me to win them. Help me to put them on my prospect list. Help me to put them on my sweetheart's list.
Jesus died, my soul.
Let me see that person saved.
My lips
I believe God wants to see some people saved. I believe He wants to use Shining Light Baptist Church. I believe He wants to use the members of this church. Will you surrender to it? Will you say, I've come this far by faith. Now, Lord, I want to step out and step into another realm of winning souls to Christ. I want to look back over 2016 and say, Lord, I preached the gospel all I could. I've reached all I could. And Lord, someone has been saved because of my witness. And it is the gospel.
Jesus paid it all.
The gospel that will save them. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for those that have responded, Lord, that say, I see what direction we're headed to in 2016, and it's a Bible direction. And I do want to preach to all that I can. Lord, thank you for those that have committed to that. Thank you for those that have committed to say, I want to reach all that I can. I'm going to do all I can. Lord, thank you for each one that has surrendered to that. Lord, and I pray you would lead them to those persons, those peoples, or maybe just that one that you have specifically designated and designed for them to reach. And Lord, they would begin now praying for that person, that you would orchestrate and, Lord, navigate their lives to be a witness to that man, that woman, that boy or girl. And they truly would see you working in their lives. Thank you that, Lord, you didn't tell us to do it in our own powers. You gave us the Holy Spirit to do it through our bodies. And so, Lord, as we're dead to self but alive unto Christ, help us to be mindful of it is not us, but Christ, Holy Spirit, working in us. Thank you so much for loving us. And, Lord, I pray that you would work in the life of the one being dealt with even right now about the gospel. And that, Lord, we might see fruit that would abound. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we dismiss, let me have your attention. We have Chris and Michelle Warren coming. And they both received Christ over the past weeks. And Michelle several weeks ago. Chris just last Wednesday. And is coming to give a public profession of their faith in Christ. Amen. And we're excited that they got saved. Amen. Husband and wife team. And as a matter of fact, the children said, now that you guys are saved and caught up with us, amen, we're going to get some family baptism going on here. Amen. So we're looking forward to baptizing them in the near future. Amen. You pray for Chris and Michelle Warren and their children, Savannah and Jolene and Steve. Darren, amen, and it'll be a blessing to them. I want you to do this after we're dismissed here. Come make your way around here. Give them the right hand of fellowship. Go from your right to your left, which would be my left and right. Go that way. Come over and just shake their hand. Let them know you're excited about their new salvation and that you're going to be praying for them because they are going to need it. Amen. Brother Bergen, why don't you come on up? And